Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Patriot Come Lately show. This is Stefan, your Patriot Come Lately, the voice of the Second American Revolution. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever or wherever you are listening. As someone who came to America to escape from the socialist nightmare, I am using this show to shake America awake. Join me in the next hour for constitutional conservative news and views, as well as the occasional guest. We have to rebuild that shining city on the hill by taking this great country back to the principles set forth by the founders.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Whenever, wherever you're listening to the show, this is Stefan, your patriot come lately, British by birth, but American by choice, like the founding fathers, and proud of it, very proud of it. Thank you for joining me. This is episode 134. Wow, time flies. Things are going so quickly, and as we rush headlong on towards the next election, so much to do, so many messages to get out there, so many people to encourage to vote. There's a lot to do, folks. Anyway, first of all, I'm going to start off with the usual regular features. The first one is to read a quote, and this week it's a slightly longer one than normal. It's actually two quotes from Thomas Jefferson. And Jefferson was very insistent that the Constitution was not just an arbitrary set of flexible rules. And if we'd have listened to him, how many of today's problems might have been avoided? Jefferson said that when an instrument admits two constructions, the one safe, the other dangerous, the one precise, the other indefinite, I prefer that which is safe and precise. I had rather ask an enlargement of power from the nation, where it was found necessary, than to assume it by a construction which would make our powers boundless. Our peculiar security is in the possession of a written constitution. Let us not make it a blank paper by construction. Well, sounds very familiar, because the progressives definitely trying to turn our Constitution into a piece of blank paper and basically ignoring all the original intentions. And they are supported by the federal judiciary, especially the Supreme Court and of course, the offices below it. Jefferson also was very prophetic on that side. He said, "The germ of dissolution of our federal government is in the Constitution of the federal judiciary, an irresponsible body working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisdiction until all shall be usurped from the states and the government of all be consolidated into one. To this I am opposed, because when all government, domestic and foreign, in little as in great things, shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks provided of one government or another, and will become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated." As I said, the very prophetic words there from Jefferson. Doesn't that, especially that last one, describe today's situation? The Supreme Court really has sold us down the Swanee. And, you know, here we are. So we have to work hard to try and get back to what were the intentions of the founders. And that's one of the things I'm trying to do on this show. Spread the message, spread the word, and hopefully you will take my message and pass it on to your friends, family, acquaintances, even to your enemies. Next regular feature is the countdown. This is something that I've been doing on a regular basis, even before Sean Hannity started it on his radio show and on Fox News Channel. And the countdown right now is less than 6 weeks. Yes, we're at 41 days until the election. So in less than 6 weeks, we will be getting some of the results coming back. And I will, of course, be having a special show on that day, and I hope not wearing sackcloth and ashes. Now, there's lots of very conflicting information out there, but we'll see. Assuming things go right in those 6 weeks, then in 116 days is the inauguration of Mitt Romney and VP Paul Ryan. And of course, Paul Ryan is going to be the subject, the main topic of the show tonight. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to go to my other regular feature, which is the quick news. And first of all, to blow my own trumpet a little bit, I'd like to just mention that Red State Talk Radio, run by Primo Mondone, who rebroadcasts mine and many other good conservative hosts' radio shows on a regular basis, has signed up and is now broadcasting also via Stitcher. So if you have a smartphone, you can use your smartphone to listen to Red State Talk Radio's. Download the Stitcher app and then search for Red State Talk Radio. You'll find it there. And Patrick Come Lately is rebroadcast every week after this show. It's Tuesday night right now here on the live show. But if you want to listen to it later, it's also broadcast on Red State Talk Radio or on Stitcher at 6 a.m. on Thursday, 2 p.m. on Thursday, 9 a.m. on Friday, and 4 a.m. Sunday morning for you nightbirds. So another channel through which you can listen to the show or encourage your friends to listen to this show. And also by doing it through Stitcher and Red State Talk Radio, they'll be able to hear lots of other good hosts. We'll be hearing from a couple of those during the show as well. I want to say hello to the guests in the chat room who are listening live. We have a couple of ordinary guests who have not signed up for Blog Talk Radio, and I apologize to you, but you will not be able to actually participate in the chat room. I believe you can view it, but you can't actually enter in. To do that, you have to sign up like Minnesota Girl and Radio Wannabe did, and they have signed up with Blog Talk Radio, and that allows them to participate in the chat room. And hello to these couple of regular listeners. Appreciate you coming by. And to the guests, I would say if you like the show, do come back. And if you like the show, please recommend me to your friends and family. And as I said before, you can hear me here at radio.patrickcomelately.us, or you can also go to redstatetalkradio.com. You can go now use the Stitcher app. I believe Red State Talk Radio is still also available on the TuneIn app on your smartphones. And as always, recordings of the show are available 24/7 on archives.patriotcomelately.us. So please spread the word and have people listen. Anyway, back to the quick news. So we have now another channel to listen, and so I've got some special things coming up. As we get into these last weeks before the election, I wanted to have a few things to divert ourselves, entertain ourselves a little bit away from what's going on. So I have some few guests coming up in the next few weeks. Obviously, as we get really close to the election, we'll probably be focusing on that. But next week, I'm going to have the CEO of the People's Vote come and talk about this very interesting approach to grassroots politics. And that should be very interesting. So I hope you'll join me next week. And the week after that, Paul Skousen, the author, is returning to discuss his new book, The Naked Socialist. And I have to confess, the quotes that I just read from Thomas Jefferson are actually from the book. He's kindly sent me a pre-publication copy, which I've been reading. A very interesting book, and he's perhaps most known for the fact that he is the son of W. Kleonskousen, who wrote that very famous book, The 5,000-Year Leap, but he is an author in his own right. And he's written The Naked Socialist. His father also wrote two books, The Naked Communist and The Naked Capitalist. The first one, obviously, about that was years ago, talking about communism. And The Naked Capitalist, talking about things like the Federal Reserve and really the bad influence of crony capitalism in the U.S. Government. So not true capitalism, but not true free market, crony capitalism. And now his son has written the third in the trilogy, The Naked Socialist, and really just lifts the lid on what are socialists, what are they doing, how did they get there, and also some ideas of how we can fight the socialist scourge. So that's 2 weeks away, so hopefully you can join us then. So some of the strange things going on in the world recently. Let's start with the mother in Texas that was arrested for letting her children play on the street. They were playing on their electric scooters, and apparently she has had a little bit of problems with one of the neighbors, and that neighbor called up the police because the kids are out there on a cul-de-sac. So remember, they're on a cul-de-sac. They might have been on the road there, but it was a cul-de-sac, and claiming the kids are out there and unsupervised. Well, the mother claimed she was sitting on the driveway in a lounge chair watching. But anyway, the police came in, didn't ascertain the facts or anything, just took the mother away, took her away to jail. She was imprisoned overnight for 18 hours, and now, of course, she is suing the police department, basically, and I think it sounds quite right, because it sounds like they really did overstep the bounds. They should ascertain the facts before they start arresting people. But apparently they just came in and took her away, which was pretty bad. So some strange things going on. And another thing I just wanted to mention, that obviously in the states of West Virginia, Pennsylvania, some of the coal mining states, good to remember that King Barry has a war on coal. There is a site now that you can go on. It's www.waroncoal.com. And the House has actually passed a bill. Bit of a laugh, really, because we know it'll never get through the Senate, and even if it did, it wouldn't get through King Barry's desk. But they've passed a bill to stop the war on coal and basically to rein in the EPA. Even after we rejected cap and trade, King Barry's using the EPA to sort of impose it with a bypass of Congress. So the EPA is just overstepping its bounds, and the House has decided that we need to rein them in. So they've passed H.R. 3409. However, as long as Dingy Harry is in power, we're not going to see that bill going through the Senate in any way. But you can go to thewaroncoal.com and add your voice to a petition, and hopefully that will really really get things at least in front of people and in front of legislators. And maybe if we do get the right election, when we get the right election in November, then come January when we change everything and we've taken over the Senate, because that's also going to happen. Think positive, then we can have that H.R. 3049 also pass through the Senate, and we can start reining in the EPA, which hopefully Mitt and Paul are going to do anyway. While we're talking about Dingy Harry, shame on you, Dingy Harry, because first of all, Dingy Harry started off a few weeks ago by claiming that he had a source who said that Mitt had not paid any taxes in the last 10 years, a secret source that he couldn't couldn't name, no, because it was probably one that was inside his head. He's hearing voices. But now that that's been proven wrong, and Mitt, without actually providing his tax returns, has provided enough proof to show that he has been paying taxes. Now, Dingy Harry accused Mitt Romney of not being the face of Mormonism and really not even being a true Mormon. And he said that he agreed with Romney critics who claim that Romney has sullied the faith of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is the official name for the Mormon Church. Well, if he's so holy, how about the fact that Dingy Harry violated at least one of the Ten Commandments, the one prohibiting the bearing of false witness? And don't forget, Jesus said as well, judge not, lest you be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And we do judge you, Dingy Harry, because you are really a disgrace to this country. And this came up again today on Fox News, and another commentator said that exactly. Dingy Harry does bring this country into disrepute by the way he's leading the Senate. How he can be there, how he can stay there, how we can actually accept all of this, it's absolutely unbelievable. And knowing, if you do a little bit of research now, the things are beginning to come out to find out how much of a good man Romney really is. I just wish there was more of that on the in the mainstream media, that all the obozos would, or at least the people on the fence, would see that Romney is actually a good person. He doesn't want a lot of publicity for all the good works he does, but he does them anyway. And to me, that's a sign of integrity. And as you know, on this show, I've railed a lot about corrupt legislators, whether they're Democrat or Republicans. And if I think with the character that I've found by studying Mitt over the last few weeks, the character that's there, I think if he'd have been a Democrat, I'd have voted for him as well, especially if the Republican running against him was anything like Obama is today, or a number of other Republicans, and that we see in Washington today. There are a few there, and I'm afraid to say right now John Boehner is pretty close to the top of that list. If he were running against Mitt Romney and Mitt Romney were a Democrat, I'd go for Mitt, just because he seems to be a truly good person. It looks like my Skype from the hotel here is giving us problems, and I lost lost the connection there, but luckily I had my phone on standby. Unfortunately, the quality's not as good, so in the next break I'll try and switch back to the Skype connection. Hopefully I won't be losing. Anyway, I was talking about Atlas Shrugged coming up in the theaters Friday the 12th.
Spreading the news. I'm telling y'all today, we're taking back America in 2012. This socialist nightmare must come to an end. That's why we're gonna vote them out in 2012. I wanna wake up in my America where I can speak as I please, without acorn thugs breaking my knees. My Harry Reid
wealth away. We've taken the House, now the Senate. In 2012, and when we stop them there, their agenda doesn't have a prayer, but it's up to you in 2012. Have y'all guys had enough of the Obama regime? Find my freedom restored. Harry Reid is out. No Obamacare. King Obama is gone. My Obama blues are melting away. Patriots, we gotta take back our country.
Everybody, Doc White here, host of the Conservative Underground. The past 4 years, we have seen our debt increase by $5.5 trillion. Our annual deficits now run over a trillion. We faced a serious economic downturn, mostly cause of government meddling in the private sector. So we spent almost $1 trillion to rescue the economy, and unemployment's higher than before. The Congress passed and the President signed far-reaching legislation designed to prevent bailouts and abuses of the system from happening again. The President signed and the Congress passed a health care bill that takes from the individual and gives to the government the important freedoms we hold dear in determining our health care. All of this done for our own good, so they say. But did it work? The answer is no. We are not better off than we were 4 years ago. And we can do better. The Conservative Underground, live on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern and replay on RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Patriot Come Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital, the Red State Talk Radio Network at redstatetalkradio.com.
And this is Stefan. I'm back. Sorry about that little glitch there. I had a double loss of connection to Blog Talk Radio. I have normally a Skype connection into the show, but I also keep a cell phone running in the background just in case, and both of them lost their signal at the same time, even though they're going over different channels. One goes over the internet and the other one goes over the airways. But anyway, so unlucky there. Hopefully that won't be happening again. And just want to say hi to Flycatch, who has just joined the chat room. Thanks for joining us tonight. Before the break, I was talking about Atlas Shrugged, and I think I just mentioned that hopefully Saturday the 13th, a group in Orlando trying to get together at one theater and making a bit of a tea party evening. Hope to hear more about that. And I see Radio Wannabe in the chat room there. If you know anything about that, let us know. Babs, I would love to publicize that and let folks know where they can come join us. Anyway, tonight I promised a bit more about about Paul Ryan's town hall in Orlando. He visited us over the weekend on Saturday and appeared at the UCF Arena over on the east side of Orlando, and I drove up there to see, and I've got some audio from there. But before we go into that, although I was working today, I did get some feedback that Romney had a very good speech at Clinton's Global Initiative today, and I was told he sounded very presidential and said a lot of good things. He got a standing ovation, so maybe that'll kind of counter some of the bad things that happened over the last few days for his campaign. But one thing struck me, the Clinton Global Initiative. Why would he be speaking there? Now, I mean, from Romney's point of view, I think it's a great opportunity for him to speak. And again, he, you know, probably did a very good thing with a very good foreign policy speech. But why would Slick Willie invite him to come speak there? And also, just before the election and on the same day that Obama is speaking in New York. And I'm just wondering, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist at heart, but I'm just wondering if Slick Willie is actually doing this as it's kind of a signal, a message of, yes, I know I had to go speak at the DNC and support Obama, but I don't really support him that much, and I really would like Romney, so I'm going to give Romney this chance here. I just wonder if that's all behind it. Again, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but we'll see. So I just thought it very strange, and obviously I haven't seen a lot of comments on that side of things, but still, you know, very interesting. Why would Slick Willie do that? And knowing Slick Willie being the consummate politician, he never does anything for nothing. So anyway. So what I'd like to do is get started on Paul Ryan's town hall. He appeared at the UCF Arena, which is a basketball arena, and not in the largest one. They have a couple of them, and he was in the smaller one, but it was still probably a few thousand people, and it. I have to say, it was standing room only by the time it came around for him to speak. It was really totally full, so it was, and it was a ticketed event. The tickets were free, but you needed to apply for tickets, and I didn't see any opportunity to get tickets there. They were checking everybody's tickets as you went in, so they must have pretty much had a sold out situation, and so it was very busy. That was the good news. And then, so what did our friend Paul Ryan do? Well, let's talk about, obviously, being a politician, he has to start off with some local stuff. But I think before we do that, I'm going to quickly run through our next set of commercials, and then we'll get into the first clip from the town hall after this break.
Hello, freedom lovers. On November 6, 2012, we're going to make an important decision about who we want to have as president for the next 4 years. Samuel Adams said, "Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not so to do, but that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society, for which he is accountable to God and his country." On November 6, 2012, make the right decision for our country. You can listen live to the Freedom's Wings show on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Freedom's Wings. You can also catch the rebroadcast at redstatetalkradio.com and ftrradio.com. And check out freedomswingspolitics.com for political analysis, news, wings gear, and much, much more.
Enjoy the 100 greatest books of all time and never read a word. Listen to them instead on the Library of Classics MP3 player. Enjoy Moby Dick, Gulliver's Travels, Tom Sawyer, Little Women, and 96 more, all preloaded on the compact player. Listen while driving, gardening, working out, or relaxing in your favorite chair. It's the perfect companion for road trips or on a plane. For a limited time, you'll receive the easy-to-use MP3 player, headphones, belt clip, car adapter, and 100 classic audiobooks. You could easily spend over $1,000 to buy the entire collection. You get everything for just $99 plus shipping. That's less than a dollar a book. Order now and you'll also get 50 great classical music performances preloaded on the player. You're fully protected by our lifetime guarantee. If you are ever dissatisfied, get a complete refund, no questions asked. Call toll-free right now and order your library of classics.
1-800-435-6043. 1-800-435-6043. That's 1-800-435-6043.
Patriot Come Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital, the Red State Talk Radio Network, at redstatetalkradio.com.
And thank you for sticking with me through that break. So now let's get on very quickly to Paul Ryan's Town Hall. And as I said before the break, we have to have the obligatory local, the local carrot, the local stuff in his speech. So he started off, first of all, talking about the space industry, which, of course, is very important to Florida. So here's the first snippet from his speech.
Because we are near the Space Coast, I think it's important that we have a space program that has a clear mission, a space program that we know where we're heading in the future, and a space program that is the unequivocal leader on the globe in space travel and space research. Look at what we have gotten out of this. The space program strengthens the entrepreneurial spirit and commercial competitiveness. It launches new industries and new technologies. President Obama campaigned quite a bit around Florida on the Space Coast in 2008, made lots of promises. This is one of those other broken promises. We have presided over a dismantling of the space program over the last 4 years. He has put the space program on a path where we are conceding our global position as the unequivocal leader for space. Today, if we want to send an astronaut to the space station, we have to pay the Russians to take them there. China may someday be looking down on us from the moon. That's unacceptable. Mitt Romney and I believe that America must lead in space. Mitt Romney and I believe an integral part of our national security.
And it sounds like got a little stuck there, so I stopped it. But he went on to say that really what they want to do, they don't want to increase the money necessarily, but they want to give NASA a very clear set of objectives, and I think that's a good thing for them to say. But obviously, it's kind of a little bit of a sop to the Florida audience, and but that's kind of acceptable. Then he went over and started talking about the economy, which is of course his strength. So let's have a listen to what he was saying a little bit later. If my Blog Talk Radio will work, and I'm not getting it to start, I hope that the sound is still on. Chat room folks, is the sound still on? Because, okay, that's good. Unfortunately, it's not letting me. Oh, here
we go. You see, we got hit hard. He came into office with a very difficult situation, but he did fix things. You can't argue we're better off than we were 4 years ago. Look at where we are right now. The worst recovery since the Great Depression. In Florida alone, the unemployment rate is 8.8%. One out of four foreclosed homes in America are right here in Florida. The average price of a house today is $36,000 cheaper, lower than it was in 2009 in January. Friends, we can't afford four more years of the last 4 years. We need to elect him. President Obama has failed to leave on space policy. He's failed to put in place the kinds of economic policies that create economic growth. I mean, remember the stimulus. If only we borrow $831 billion and spend it on all these different groups and all these different people and cronies and companies and special interest groups, unemployment will never get above 8% in America. Remember that promise? It's been above 8% for 43 months. 23 million Americans are struggling to find work today. We have 15% of our fellow citizens living in poverty today. That's the highest rate in a generation. That's not working. And so, that also is an area where the president has not shown the leadership we need. But another area where the president has fundamentally failed to lead, an area that I believe we have a moral obligation to lead, is in getting the debt under control.
So you saw there Paul Ryan talking about his strengths, obviously talking about the economy and highlighting Obama's failures on the economical side, and then moving across to the debt. And that was really the main part of his speech, was all about the debt. And we've got some interesting things out of that. One thing I have to say, Paul Ryan is no Marco Rubio. He's no Sarah Palin in terms of firing up the crowd and getting them all excited. But the information that he gives is correct. It shows that he knows what he's talking about. And quite frankly, with the problems that we have today with the country, I think that's really what the country needs. We need people who know what they're doing. We don't need, you know, with due respect to Sarah and Marco, they're probably very good politicians, and they could probably contribute very well. But Paul Ryan knows what he's doing, and I think he will make a very good VP, and he will really help Mitt. And I think Mitt knows what he's doing from a business point of view. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we're kind of the MTV generation, and you know, we need the glitz and the bling, etc. And neither of those two have as much, but they're good, solid people who know what they're doing, and that's very important. So hopefully that will come across for a lot of people. Let's hear what he has to say about the debt. And I'm going to break this up into two parts, because there's a very key piece in the middle, and this first section will end on that key piece.
You see, this just isn't giving our children our bills. This just isn't, and this is without a shadow of a doubt, every fiscal expert will tell you, we are consigning the next generation to an inferior standard of living, to a diminished future. We know this without a doubt. We have a moral obligation to save the American dream for our children and our grandchildren. But more to the point, it's hurting our economy today. So let's take a look at this. I'm kind of a PowerPoint guy, so I hope you'll bear with me. And while we have this conversation, you'll see our national debt will just be racking up. You see, the president said he'd cut the deficit in half by the end of his first term. Now, nowhere close. He had $5 trillion for our debt. He said a $10.6 trillion debt when he was Senator Obama was unpatriotic. Now we have a $16 trillion debt. I wonder what you call that. Now, shovel ready. I've heard that one. Governments can absorb some debt as long as it's not too big relative to your income. It's just like a mortgage. You buy enough house, but no more than what your income can carry. Right? That's a pretty common concept. Well, we've done this in America. Take a look at our debt in the past. This shows you that our debt, back in World War II, it got as high as the entire American economy. Meaning, our debt went at about 100% of our gross domestic product. Now, you can have really high debt that high if you know it's temporary, if you know it's for a finite time, if you know after that you're going to get it paid off. And that's what we did. We borrowed a lot of money to win World War II. Those heroes who fought for us, we also had men and women working for our country, all the countries behind, unifying our countries in that war. But after World War II, we got our spending under control. We got our debt paid off. And so our debt has gone up and down, but we've kept it under those levels where our economy could afford to carry it. Here is what the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, is telling us we are headed under the current path we are on. This.
And I don't know if you heard it there, but on these PowerPoints, and I have to say, Paul Ryan isn't a finance or accounting geek because he loves his PowerPoints, but he had some pictures up there, and he revealed on one of them the Congressional Budget Office showing the curve of the debt growing from where it is today, which is almost, almost up to GDP, going up to 250% of GDP. And you hear the reaction of the audience there when that was revealed. So that was quite a interesting reaction on the part of the crowd there, and I did want to kind of highlight that. So let's hear the rest of his discussion about the debt.
The current path we have. This is where our debt is going. This is the path we are on today. This is even worse than Europe. You see, we can't keep spending money we don't have. Today, our federal government, for every dollar it spends, it borrows 36 cents on that dollar. By the time my three kids are around my age, that's at the top there, our debt is going to be 2.5 times the size of our economy. The reason we just end this chart there is because the Congressional Budget Office tells us the economy effectively crashes at that point. They really literally don't know how to measure the economy going on past those years because of the crushing burden of debt that is coming. This is the most predictable crisis we have ever had in this country. And more to the point, we know why it's happening, we know when it's happening, and we have a president who has literally not only done nothing to do it, but he's made it worse. We need a new president. We need a president who will take on this challenge, who will lead and do something about it. Mitt Romney, one of the reasons why Mitt Romney asked me to join into this quest is because some of us have been fighting for this. Some of us have been saying we need an honest conversation in this country about why this is happening and what we need to do to prevent it from happening. People are ready to be talked to like adults in this country. They don't want to be pandered to like children. They want the answers and the solutions to how to make sure we don't do this to our children and grandchildren and get this group of debt off of our economy.
And I think the interesting thing that that also the people in the crowd reacted to, but not quite as much as that initial 250%, when he explained that the reason that the chart stopped at 250%, and that was sort of, whatever year that was that we were planned to reach that based on the current Obama budget. He doesn't have a budget, but the current Obama spending. That the CBO basically said once it reaches 250%, it doesn't make any sense to continue on because at that point, if it hasn't already, then the whole economy will totally collapse. So a very good argument that he's making there, but as I said, a little bit geeky, a little bit accounting geeky. But isn't that what we need? We don't need the glitz. We don't need the flash. We need people who are solid. And Anyway, he did kind of get a little bit more glitzy, a little bit more firing the crowd up towards the very end. So I'm just going to play the next round of commercials, and then we'll listen to the end of his speech, where he does sort of get a little bit more excited. So if you just hang on, we'll be right back.
And now, Patrick Cumlately with a conservative minute.
Once again, King Barry is caught in demonstrable lies, and yet the mainstream media does nothing about it. Kudos to the hosts of Univision, who asked hard-hitting questions, even though the answers were bovine excrement. Interesting how one of the hosts switched to English so that nothing would be lost in the translation when he lambasted Obama for failing to keep his promises on immigration reform. The waffle reply disrespected the host and Hispanics all over this country. King Barry doubled down on lies with his reply about Fast and Furious. But in spite of all these lies and distortions of the truth, Khalif Hussein is like a cat with seven lives, and he's keeping his polling numbers up. Wake up, America! We cannot afford another 4 years of this would-be dictator ruining our country.
You can listen to the Patriot Come Lately live on Tuesdays at radio.patriotcomelately.us, or to rebroadcast on the Red State Talk Radio Network at www.redstatetalkradio.com.
Have you ever wondered how you could make a difference in someone's life? What if you could help hundreds or even thousands of children? You might think it impossible, but it's within your reach. Right now, today, students in the U.S. rank 32nd in world math skills. It's time for our children to catch up. And you can help. Become an owner of one of the world's fastest-growing franchises, Mathnasium. Mathnasium is the leading math-only learning center in the U.S. Its only purpose is to make our kids better at math. Imagine helping hundreds, even thousands of students in your community improve in school and raise their self-esteem, all while doing something you truly love. Call us at 800-676-5216. To learn more about Mathnasium's exciting franchise opportunities, that's 800-676-5216. To learn how you can make a difference, doing something you truly love, that's 800-676-5216. 800-676-5216.
This is the Patriot Come Lately Show, coming to you on the internet via Blog Talk Radio. Also available via WRS Digital, the Red State Talk Radio Network, at redstatetalkradio.com.
And thanks for staying with me through that final break. We're into the final minutes of the show, so time for a little bit of analysis of the Paul Ryan town hall after I play kind of his ending, where he did start to get a little bit more upbeat and up-tempo. Talking about the debt, he then spent about 20 minutes answering what to me seemed to be off-the-cuff questions from people at random out of the crowd. They could have been planted, but I don't think so. It seemed very very much a random selection. And he was able to field all of the questions. I was very impressed with that. So, again, as I say, he knows his stuff. He knows his job. He's just not glitzy about it. But you'll see in this bit at the end, he did kind of get the crowd fired up a little bit. So let's listen to that final part of his speech.
Of all the things that I've talked with men about this a number of times, he feels so strongly about this. A strong military is in the interest of ourselves, of our peace. We believe that having a strong military, speaking forcefully in behalf of our values, prevents problems from being crises which puts American lives further in danger. That's part of the big problem with the failed Obama foreign policy. So, do I have time? No, I don't. I apologize. They're telling me I don't have time for another one. Let me just say this. We need your help. Floridians, you have a huge responsibility and you have a big opportunity. Dispel the myth, help sort out the distortions, talk to your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, talk to people who may have voted for President Obama because of hope and change. Hope and change now attack and blame. I mean, hope is farther away because of so many more people hurting, so many more people out of work, so many more people in poverty and change. Well, just the other day on Univision, the president said that he admitted he can't change Washington from the inside. Why did we send presidents to Washington in the first place? Don't we send presidents to Washington to change Washington, to fix the mess in Washington? If President Obama thinks that he cannot change Washington, then we need to change presidents. And we need to elect Ben Carson as the president of the United States. Thank you so much for coming up, everybody. Thank you so much. God bless you. We need your help. Thank you.
Well, as you heard there, he ended, of course, had obviously changed his speech to include the fact that Obama had said you can't change Washington from the inside. And so now Mitt and Ryan are both using the thing, well, let's send Obama to the outside because we can change it from the inside, and he let him change it from the outside. Which I think obviously was something they really had to do. So here's my quick analysis. As I said before, Paul Ryan's no Marco Rubio or Sarah Palin, but he knows his stuff. I think, though, coupled with Milquetoast Mitt, who's also not the most personable person, he knows his stuff as well, and I think he'll be a great president. But he doesn't fire people up necessarily in speeches, et cetera. The two of them together, I think, might explain some of the losses in the polls that have been going on. And we all know that there's also a lot of the left trying to skew the polls to discourage us, but there was definitely a drop. Now, hopefully, Mitt, coming up to the debates, which are coming up soon, he's going to have some stones, and he needs to be more forceful. He needs to be more aggressive, not negative, but he needs to be more aggressive. And if he can do that and show that he has some backbone, then I think he can do fairly well. To be honest as well, I think one of the less accusations that neither of the two give any details about how they're going to do something. They say what needs to be done, reduce the debt, address entitlements, but they don't give any very clear details about it. That's also a little bit of a negative, and hopefully they come up with some things, especially for in the debates, that they don't have to waffle around things. So I think, if they could do that, then that speech would have been excellent rather than just good or very good. But also, to give him his due, one of the good things that Ryan said was that you cannot solve America's problems with one-sentence slogans. So there's a bit of a balance there, and hopefully people can go out to Mitt Romney's site and read what his plans actually are. Anyway, it sounds like we have actually reached the end of the show, and the music is coming up. So I have to say TTFN, time has run away with me again. Hopefully you can join me next week. The People's Vote.
For listening to this edition of the Patriot Come Lately show. Please take what you have learned and share it with friends and family. Better still, tell them about the show so they can listen too. Remember to support the advertisers on the show. It helps keep this show on the air, and I thank you for that. I'm looking forward to joining you on the next show. Until then, keep spreading our message. Goodbye, and God bless America.